All right, welcome into the Lake Show here on this Friday evening, News Talk 830 WCCO. I really want some engagement tonight on the talk and text line, which is 651-461-9226. I do not have an issue with God, but I got an issue with people working in the churches. Specifically, I have an issue with pastors. I am not overly religious. I am not somebody that goes to a church every single weekend and goes to a service. I come and go with that, but I pray every day. I try to participate in a positive way in other people's lives, the way that I think that God would want me to serve people. And yes, on occasion, I'll read some scripture to kind of get refocused. I'm not that guy that's going to be quoting scriptures and all that stuff. But the bottom line is, I have a problem with a bunch of pastors out there. A bunch of people that, in my opinion, are greedy and want money and wealth. Because I feel like there are a lot of individuals in the profession of being reverends and pastors and clergymen and women that take advantage of people that follow them. And that really does bug me. It bugs me, and it's come up this week because gospel star Marvin Sapp is in the spotlight. He's made headlines for something that he recently did. And that is, at a service, he told his ushers, while he's giving the sermon and talking into the microphone, to stop people from walking out of the church because they needed to go ahead and get the offerings from people. And there was a certain amount of money that they needed. Now, believing in being a good person and having faith has nothing, in my opinion, to do with how much money you give. Everybody's life is different. But I've felt this way for quite some time, and I've never really talked about it on air, articulated it. But I really do have an issue with people that lead churches that make it about money. So I wonder if there's anybody out there that could tell me why Creflo Dollar should be worth $30 million. I think it was like a decade ago where he had made some statements or had said to members of his church in Atlanta that they needed to raise money because he needed a private jet. Where's the sense in that? Is that doing God's work? How about Joel Osteen? His estimated net worth is $100 million. What does a person that's supposed to be a pastor doing God's work, what do they need with $100 million? And that's probably, let's say this. Let's look at that number. Let's just all assume that it's much higher than that. You know why I say that? When they had an issue a couple of years ago down in Houston, it was one of the hurricanes.
Hurricane Harvey. I was there.
This one was more recent.
Oh, okay. I remember Harvey where he closed everything down and he wouldn't let anybody in.
Yeah, I think he's done that multiple times. But in the midst of literally storms and people needing a place to go, he said, "No, not in my church." That surely sounds like a man of God, right? And remember, in his church, in one of the walls, they found like $500,000 or something. Like, what's going on? So when I see the number that's on the internet, I'm doubting that that's accurate because people like this stash money all over the place.
Yeah.
And then the Marvin Sapp, I want to get back to him because he's been in the headlines. I want to play for you the clip that's been making the rounds and why people are outraged, like myself, for telling people at the service, don't go anywhere. You guys got bills to pay. Let's go ahead and play this clip, Chris, and then I'll respond after.
And they understand the cost that is involved. There's 1,000 of you. I said, close them doors. Ushers, close the doors. Close the doors. Close the doors. We all gonna leave together. Y'all ain't going no place but to the restaurant. There's 1,000 of you tonight, and those that are watching, it's 1,000 that's watching online. This is a small seed. If I get 1,000 online to give this, if I get 1,000 in the sanctuary to give this, that's $40,000 tonight. I'm challenging each of you all down here to give a $20 seed. I actually think $20 is a lot of money. $20, believe it or not, when my late wife, Melinda P. Sapp, was alive, was a good date. I could take her to the movies, buy a box of popcorn, get one soda, two straws. I wasn't cheap. That's swag. I was looking in her eyes. She's looking in mine. Can't do that no more. Now, everyone up here, we've all sowed and seeded, but I need everyone standing up here with us, with me, to plant a seed of $100. Because, again, it costs to sit up here. I got you. Let's see. So put your 20 away, preachers. That 20 wasn't for you. And this is what I need you to do. If you're giving electronically or even if you're giving tangibly, I'm going to have y'all come to the altar and give it because I need to see 1,000 people moving.
This is entirely out of pocket. I mean, the number that he needed to hit was 40 grand? Who came up with that? 651-461-9226. This is, in my opinion, unacceptable. And if I had got up and was walking to leave, and they said that I couldn't leave, there's no way you're holding me inside a church. Like, that's insanity to me. And this is not every single church. This is not every single pastor. We understand that. We're generalizing here, okay? So we're not saying that every single pastor or church on planet Earth is doing these type of things. But there is a lot of people that are doing these type of things, and it's totally out of hand. Creflo Dollar at his church, and he's not the only one, they're talking about they want to see your taxes. What? You've got to be. You're not seeing any tax returns that I'm that. You've lost your mind.
It used to be that when you tithe, you'd give 10%. 10% to the church, tithing was generous. That's what I was taught growing up in a Lutheran household. Now, this to me seems like more of a personality. It's more so about the action and less about the faith. You know, because it's all about, okay, I'm a personality, right? So therefore, I'm going to push it a little bit more. I'm going to see what I can get away with. And the whole trapping people in, it almost seemed like it was a movie because you could hear the audible gasp of people like, what? So what? It's like a get out of jail, like $20. We have to give you $20. What if people don't have $20 in their wallet?
And the people up there close to him, he said they had to give $100.
I mean, it's like, oh, the cost, that's the cost of sitting up here.
Yes. What does that mean? The cost of sitting up here is $100?
This is not the Trump inauguration, okay? You don't have to pay to sit up there on the stage. And Henry, when it started, did you notice, like, when you watch in the video, there was...
And he was dead serious.
Yeah, there was a gentleman behind him on the stage. I don't know if a fellow pastor or whatever, but he's like, he just kind of had this confused look, like, you can't... Not this. This isn't happening. Like, if you're going to sit there and you're going to bully your parishioners into giving you $20 and you have to see it, I mean, that's all not going to the church, right? I'm fairly certain that that's not all going right back into the church. It's extortion. I look at it as extortion. Maybe I'm wrong, but I've never, growing up in a Lutheran household, going to church every single week, we gave what we could. And if you didn't have it,
I think you pass give it along. What you can.
You give what you
and
can.
And that is what is, that's the way it's supposed to be, at least in my mind.
Yeah, you are there as your pastor, as your leader, to serve the individuals, your congregation, and, you know, relay the word of God and be an example for them. They are not your ATM. They don't serve you. You serve them.
651-461-9226. Your text, any phone calls, greatly appreciated right here on The Lake Show. 651-461-9226. Marvin Sapp, come on, man. You got to be better than this.
He thinks everybody saps.
He's in the same fraternity as I'm in.
Oh, is
like,
he?
Yeah, I'm like, man, you're making us look bad.
Oh, man.
Don't do this. Joel, Creflo, all of you guys. Any pastor that thinks that part of the plan and the mission is to get rich and wealthy, that's not it. You're supposed to be serving God. There's nothing that says I'm supposed to show you how much I make, that you need to see my taxes.
Yeah.
If anybody from a church that I went to said that they needed to see that private information, I wouldn't go there. I'm dead serious. I would not go there. That's not part of what you're supposed to be doing. 651-461-9226. From the 612, Henry, please don't equate all pastors and churches. Some are bad and some are good, just like the rest of humanity. Of course not. I'm not sitting here saying that every single pastor or person in the church is a bad person. Of course not. But I'll be damned if I'm going to sit here and not call these people out that are doing this. From the text line, you're the man. I'm not the man. I'm just the man sitting next to the man. Sitting next to the man. Sitting next to the man. Joel and the rest of them have not followed Jesus' example of a simple life. Just the opposite. Jesus practiced what he preached. Joel and the rest, not so much. I wish I would be in somebody's church. And they say that they need a certain amount of money because the church needs to provide a private jet for that pastor. Like, what are we doing at that point?
I can't believe that if you were to put that message out there, and people would be like, you know what? Yes, you need a private jet. Let me help you with that. I'm not helping anybody with a private jet other than me. Like, why is it our responsibility to help you with material things, right? Aren't we here to get spiritual guidance and fulfillment there? Like, none of that is the body of the flesh. You know what I mean? Like, none of this should be material things. This is all on a spiritual level. And it is amazing to me. And it's like these high-profile pastors, right? You know, going back to the Billy Grahams and whatnot, and, you know, Tammy Faye Bakers and, you know, Jim Baker, thing like that. Like, this always seems to be a thing where they get this personality and it's funded off the backs of the people that they are willing to take advantage of. And that's the problem.
All right, let's go to Jeff in Sauk Rapids. Jeff, what's your take on this, man?
Hey, Henry. Well, I tell you what, you opened a big old can of worms on this one. And maybe I can help with just a little bit of levity with the four religious truths. Jews do not recognize Jesus as the Savior. Catholics do not recognize the natural birth of the Christ. Protestants do not recognize the Pope as the leader of the Christian world. And Baptists do not recognize each other in a strip joint.
Okay.
You're supposed to laugh at that. It was a joke.
Yeah, I'm thinking about the strip club, and all of a sudden, I kind of felt bad.
Yeah, he's saying one thing. Your body says one thing. Your mind says another.
Are you a Baptist? Or a strip joint? Wearing a face mask during COVID, right?
but in all, let me ask you this, Jeff. When was the last time that you've been to church?
There was a funeral.
But that's fine. That's fine. No, that's totally fine.
Yeah.
But because that was the last time I went to my uncle passed away over the holidays. Yeah. And so that was the last time I've been to a church too. But like typically when I go to church for an actual service, I'm going to always give it's not going to always be the amount every single right. time. Sometimes you have it, sometimes you just don't. I'm not going to leave there and not give anything, but to feel like you are pressing the congregation, that you are pressing your church members, that you're pressuring them for money.
That's just plain wrong.
That's just unacceptable.
Yeah, that's just plain wrong. No, I'm not a regular church goer. I stop in every now and then, and it may not even always be the same one. It depends.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, I find somebody that's got a pretty good preacher.
Yep.
And, you know,
and
every once in a while, not.
Yeah. And things, yep.
But I feel like when they pass the hat, I'm going to throw in whatever. I'm not sure. I'm not sure what my thing is. Am I going to throw in whatever I can afford, $100 bills? Am I going to throw in... how good was the sermon? It really fluctuates. Maybe I'll toss in a 10.
Yeah. Yeah, no question. And thanks to the phone call from Jeff in Sauk Rapids. Look, I'm somebody that have went to several different churches in my lifetime. But now that I'm somebody that doesn't go on a regular basis, and I've got like fraternity brothers that are pastors. I've known pastors my entire life. My thing is I move around. It's not like there's like even when we were in COVID, right? People weren't going to, you know, out
they
and
had
about.
The, we the online services.
I'm watching Eagle Brook.
Yeah.
So like to me, it's about who's giving a good service, who's got a good message, and does it resonate with me? It should. So I'm not a person that feels like I got to go to the same place all the time. Mm-hmm. And the reason why I bring that up is because then you get into a mold of you're giving because it's the right thing to do, and it's something that you should do. You're not showing up on Sunday just because you believe you've got a bill you got to pay.
Yeah, you shouldn't feel obligated to give because you don't. Church should be a place, and I feel like this is one of the reasons why people not necessarily are just, you know, shying away from religion, but I feel like going to the actual physical building, I feel like there's a certain amount of intimidation, you know, and you're uncomfortable because, okay, what if I can't give as much as the person next to me? Okay, they're going to give a 20. What if I only have a 1? You know, I feel like church now is a place where people are being judged, maybe even by their peers. I mean, and a church, you shouldn't need a cover charge. You should not treat it like a cover charge.
Well, I'll say this. There's one thing that I feel like has gotten better with church. And I guess it depends on where you go or just how you feel about, you know, going to a church service your whole life. But one thing that I think is different nowadays, and I think that when we start thinking about the economy and we start thinking about people, the haves and have-nots, you know what used to be a thing back when I was a kid? Every single Sunday, you dressed up. Now, I'm not saying that you just come in slumming it. That's not mm-hmm. what I'm saying, okay? But times have changed in terms of attire that way.
Much more casual.
It's much more casual, and I'm not upset about that. And the only reason why I said, because I'm still somebody that would go ahead and dress up, but my point is that not everybody has the financial ability
yes.
to go out there and make sure that they have their Sunday's best all the time, that they have the, you know, the nice shiny shoes, mm-hmm. or they have suit upon suit and dress shirt upon dress. If I see a person at a church and they just have a polo shirt on or a t-shirt or whatever, and they got on some jeans or some khakis, that's totally fine. It's about you being there and getting the work.
Yeah, and that's exactly what it is. And you were kind of talking about, you know, going to different church. I think over the course of time, like, you realize, like, religion, the perception of religion and how people handle religion and how they talk about it have changed. And it's now become much more polarizing, and it's been intertwined with politics, and it shouldn't be that way. But I feel like, you know, what, you know, somebody might have looked for in one church before, as you go along, things have changed. Your priorities change based on what you're looking for. You know, it's not just, you know, moving and doing it. It's like, okay, this was a fit for me at one point. It's not a fit for me now. What am I looking for? How have my values changed? And therefore, it's you're always in this constant, you know, yearning or want to have something that you feel is going to line up with your beliefs.
Yeah. Now, Jeff from New Hope, he texted and he says, do you remember when people got dressed up to go on the airplane? I don't remember that. Was that ever a thing?
Those scallywags. Yeah. I mean,
getting dressed up to get on the plane?
Well, I mean, it used to be you'd get dressed up to do anything. I mean, the old Sunday best. I mean, back in the day, it used to be you'd get dressed up to go to a ballpark.
Now I just throw on Lululemons and just hop on a plane.
Yeah, see,
sweat for me, baby.
Yes. Well,
I rarely wear jeans anymore.
Yeah. See, you call them Lululemons. I call them fat pants. But they're different. they're different for various reasons. Hey, when you're on a plane, you want to wear something comfortable.
Yeah.
But I think we've gotten to the point where it's more about the messaging and the content and less about the appearance. And you know what? I think that's gotten just in society, we've gotten that way. And I think, you know, going to a physical church to worship, I think that's just kind of a microcosm.
A couple of more texts from the 763. This so-called pastor has it all wrong. He is supposed to be ministering to his congregation and serving them, not holding them hostages and demanding money from them. He will certainly be held to action for his actions. This one from the 612. I grew up in churches like this. As a young person, I got scared when they locked us in. When I got to be a young adult, the church raised money to send pastor and his family to Hawaii. Mm. They also raised an extra $1,000 for spending money. That's weird. The planters put it in a red flyer wagon, and it was in a dollar? I don't know what that means. He got so angry. And it was, I guess they put in a dollar. He got so angry, he was humiliated, and he berated the congregation. We felt terrible. I thought that's how church was supposed to be. Now I know better. But when I was a kid, I didn't know better.
Man, it gives a new definition to the word lock-in.
Man, that's crazy. All right, 651-461-9226. Coming up next, after weather, there's been a back and forth this entire week in the world of sports between Stephen A. Smith and LeBron James. But who is in the wrong here? We get to that next year on The Lake Show. All right, the battle in the war of words this week between LeBron James and Stephen A. Smith from ESPN, it's just gotten so out of hand, at least in my opinion. When I think about LeBron James, I think about one of the greatest athletes of all time. When I think about Stephen A. Smith, I think about a television personality, former journalist that is really good at his job. He's good at creating controversy. He's good at having strong opinions, some really good takes. But I think that both of them should acknowledge and accept that they've lost the plot here. Okay. That they have kind of lost their way, and this entire situation has gotten personal for them both. And that's not where it should go. Okay. So if you hadn't heard, there's been a back and forth with Stephen A. Smith actually for weeks. It kind of got jump started. Stephen A. is courtside for a Lakers game. LeBron comes over to him during the game, approaches Stephen A. and says, man, I don't appreciate how you're talking about my son, which he never should have done. And they had some words. And then after that, I mean, when you do that in front of cameras and the world sees it, it's going to be discussed and Stephen A. is going to talk about it. He's going to talk about it on First Take. That's just how it is. So he goes on television and he talks about their conversation, the back and forth. He gave his side of it. And I think LeBron, he had some things to say after that. And then Stephen A. took it further, continued to talk about it, which stopped talking about it, number one. He went on Sean Hannity and was talking about it in other places, and he made the rounds. I think he went to Gilbert Arenas' podcast and was talking about it. So he's doing all this talking about it, okay? At that particular point, it was a bit much, okay? Stephen A. let it go. LeBron let it go. Well, earlier this week, LeBron James goes on the Pat McAfee show, which happens to be on ESPN. And he gives his side of it, and he makes a comment about basically like Stephen A., is going on a Taylor Swift tour, and he won't stop, you know, and you know, basically I'm in his head, and you know, don't you know when you're talking about my family or you disrespect my family, then we got issues. All right, let me start with LeBron. LeBron's in the wrong for that thinking there. Okay, just having that mentality. Your son Bronny, okay, is fair game for criticism. He is a professional basketball player. We are not, and when I say we, I'm talking about members of the media. We are not signed up. We are not paid to kiss his ass. We're not. We're not supposed to just say glowing things about your son because he's your son. He is now a grown man or playing a grown man's game, and he is going to get criticism and he is going to get praise. He's going to get both. It doesn't work the way you want it to work, where he just gets praise. That's not how this works. When your son goes over from the field, or he gets crossed over, or he has bad games, we are going to say as much. When he plays well, we will say that too. That's easy to do. It's easy to talk about somebody playing well, and it's easy to talk about somebody playing poorly. That's what you signed your son up for. And by the way, you are part of the reason why he's under the microscope that he's under right now. Because you handpicked the organization so that you could have your son play with you. So for LeBron James, and everybody knows, I love LeBron, right? Like, I got some of his apparel, kicks, whatever. I love LeBron James. LeBron James is one of the great athletes of our time. But for him to act as though he has no part in this, stop it, bro. Stop it. It's nonsense. Don't go down that road. Your kid and you and any other basketball player, Luka Doncic to, you know, Giannis to whoever, Anthony Edwards, who I talked about weeks ago, needs to get his head on straight. You're going to get criticism. So you got to own that. So no, Stephen A. wasn't out of pocket for saying anything derogatory or disrespectful to Bronny. Now let me look at Stephen A. Smith. Because Stephen A. Smith, you're doing too much. And look, I've met Stephen A. Smith, what, twice? And the last time I saw Stephen A. Smith, it was years ago. Stephen A. Smith, one of his best friends or one of his college roommates, is a Terrell Battle. An individual from here. They went to school together. Terrell currently works with the Timberwolves. And back when I was interning with the Timberwolves, many, many years, late 90s, Terrell was there. Then he left the Timberwolves organization for about, I want to say, 16 or 17 years, and he just recently came back. They're good friends, and that's the couple times that I met Stephen A. was when Terrell was with the Wolves early on, okay? I bring this up to say that there's the Stephen A. Smith that we see now isn't the Stephen A. Smith that was Stephen A. Smith 20 years ago. He's gotten a bigger head because the paychecks have gotten bigger, and he just signed a contract. I think it's like a 5-year deal for $100 million. So, of course, life is going to change. Maybe your perspective and how you deal with people is going to change. But the thing that bothers me about Stephen A. is that in this profession, you have every right to have an opinion, and a strong opinion, good and bad. But you're starting to make this way personal than what it should be. It's unacceptable that you're getting, like, you're going out of your way to say certain things. Like, a couple days ago, Stephen A. Smith talked about, like, literally swinging on LeBron James, like throwing a punch. Listen to this.
That man put his hands on me, I would have immediately swung on him. Immediately.
No one's ever talked about LeBron touching you, man. No one's going to sit here and say that if LeBron James touched you or put his hands on you, that you don't have a right to defend yourself. But that's not a topic. That's not anything that anyone's even thought about. No one's even mentioned that. Maybe some of us thought about it because you guys were in close proximity. But for you to bring that up on your podcast, weak sauce. LeBron goes on the Pat McAfee show. He doesn't like it. And so what does he do the next day on First Take? He responds to LeBron's comments. And I think it was extremely disrespectful where Stephen A. Smith brought up Kobe Bryant's death, which is despicable, it's unacceptable, and it's low.
I never really brought up or discussed why you did not attend Dwayne Wade's Hall of Fame induction when that man was directly responsible for you capturing a championship for the first time in your career. I brought up none of that. I didn't bring up the fact that even though when people had asked, you had alluded to what had happened tragically to your son, and thank God he's okay with his heart condition. I didn't bring up the fact that even though you couldn't go to the Hall of Fame induction of Dwayne Wade weeks earlier, you were out of the country on business. I didn't bring that up. That's your personal business, okay? But the fact is, you wasn't at the Hall of Fame induction of a brother that's going to drastically assist to you being a Hall of Famer because he helped you become the champion that you are, and he was a big brother to you. I brought up none of these things. But LeBron James, at the end of the day, wants to come at me, and he's walking around pouting.
All right, so at the beginning of that conversation, he brings up Kobe. And he says that Kobe, he said that he wasn't at Kobe's memorial, which was a flat-out lie. A flat-out lie. It's unacceptable that he, number one, Kobe's death and memorial has nothing to do right now with this entire conversation. For him to bring it up made absolutely zero sense. Then, after he's called out on it, he hops on Twitter and says, I misspoke. No, you lied. You lied. So my point in bringing this up, and you can react on the other side, 651-461-9226, is I think that we are in a bad place in media where things are getting way too personal with athletes and media members. I'm not going to sit here and act like every single athlete that I cover or I've come across, I have a great relationship with or that I like. But at the end of the day, there is a line with all of this stuff. Your thoughts, your opinions, coming up next here on The Lake Show. All right, welcome back to The Lake Show. News Talk 830-WCCO. The text line from the 507, I'm not a Stephen A. guy. However, it was said by Stephen A. that LeBron challenged him to a fight when LeBron pulled him aside to chastise him regarding his comments about Bronny, something to the effect they could go settle like men in front of everyone, but Stephen A. refused. That's where the Stephen A. comments from regarding him defending himself. There's a couple of things with that. If that was indeed the case, why didn't Stephen A. Smith say that 2 weeks ago, number one? Secondly, I don't buy that for 1 second. You're saying something to the effect, am I supposed to sit here and believe that LeBron James challenged Stephen A? I'm sure that he criticized him heavily to his face, but am I supposed to believe that LeBron James literally said, let's square up in front of the world right here on the court? Texter, come on. Now, we know that didn't happen. He did not say we can knuckle up here in front of the world on this court. I'm in uniform and you're dressed up. That's not a real thing. And Stephen A. would have said the very next day that he threatened me face to face. Like, I'm not buying that. But let's get to Charles Barkley, because Charles Barkley's got a take on this. Because, and I'm serious, I think that in the sports world, this is not a good place to be. We should be able to criticize and praise. But it's just way too much drama. This is what Charles Barkley had to say when he was on the Dan Patrick Show.
Who had a better week, LeBron James or Stephen A. Smith?
They both had an awful week. They both had an awful week. LeBron, he's too big to be that type of bully. To bully Stephen A. and to bully Brian Windhorst. Brian Windhorst is a sweet person, man. He's just trying to do his thing. And I've always liked LeBron, but him being a bully, it turned me off, Dan. But I will say that Stephen A., the way he reacted was so lame and weak. And Stephen A. is a good dude, man. For him to react, LeBron, like I say, I blame him for starting the bullying, going on Pat's show just bullying people. Because, you know, LeBron, he's a control freak. He knows everything he's doing.
Yeah.
He knows everything he's doing. He knew when he walked up to Stephen A. what he was doing. But the way Stephen A. reacted, going on Gilbert's podcast, talking tough, and I said, come on, man, you're better than that. So there's only losers, Dan, in this scenario, us as the sports media. You got the biggest star in the game. You probably got the biggest star on television, and they both look bad, in my opinion.
And they do. And let me take it a step further, and I do want to criticize LeBron some more. To throw shade at Brian Windhorst, like, what? That makes no sense. And I do agree with Charles Barkley with regards to LeBron is trying to do the bully tactic here. Like, it's... Don't ruin your reputation. Like, seriously, like let people look at you for the LeBron James that we've always looked at you as a stellar human being that has always been about giving to great causes, being somebody that, and I'm not saying that he's a saint, okay? Everybody makes mistakes, and everybody is allowed to make mistakes, okay? Everybody's got flaws. But don't go down this road with Stephen A. Smith. Like, I think part of it is now you're baiting into helping out ESPN at this specific point in time. Like, Stephen A. Smith is probably going to try to milk this a little bit longer. And it just, I think it's insane. From the 612, this isn't about LeBron or Stephen A., they say, I lost all respect for Aaron Rodgers when he started spreading his anti. Yeah, I mean, yeah. I mean, but this is not an Aaron Rodgers conversation, but it is a general, like, in this world of covering athletes and having a platform and doing media, like, we all make mistakes. There's do's and don'ts, but this is not something that I think. When Stephen A. Smith invokes the name of Kobe Bryant and he talks about LeBron, why you weren't at the memorial, and it's a flat out, it's not true at all. Like, in the video, you can see Diana Taurasi reference LeBron. Now, he wasn't on camera, but it sounds like he didn't want to be on camera because he did not want to have any of the highlight on him. I just think it's ugly, it's gross, it's nasty that Stephen A. Smith would even bring Kobe Bryant into this. And I'll be honest with you. I think that because of that fact, you're talking about somebody that's dead and passed away, that Stephen A. should have addressed it more and called himself out. He basically pulled the my bad. No, it's a lie. You told a lie. It wasn't you misspoke. That there's a difference between misspeaking and lying. You said he wasn't there, and you got caught, and the world sees that you got caught. Just address it. We talked about accountability earlier this week with the Signal Gate and Pete Hegseth and all the, you know, politicians. This is no different. Just say, you know what? I apologize for, number one, bringing up Kobe in the first place, and secondly, saying something that flat out wasn't true. And then we move on with the rest of our lives. That's the way that he should have went about it. All right, coming up next. In this economy, with so many people stressed out, help me understand why we are helping banks, banking institutions. We'll get to that next.